Welcome to Love Rules, the radio ministry of Roxbury Presbyterian Church in Boston. My mom, Liz Walker, was Boston's first African-American television news anchor, but her most important job is what she does right now at RPC, preaching the good news about God's love. The Bible says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. How does that work? Join my mom now as she offers us Love Rules from Roxbury Presbyterian Church.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Love Rules. Today's message is Choose Joy, and our text, Philippians, the fourth chapter, the fourth through the seventh verses. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The Harvard School of Public Health just recently announced a $21 million investment in a new center on health and happiness. Based on a relatively new scientific field called positive psychology, the center will focus on how to cultivate lives of purpose, meaning, and optimism, all contributors to physical health. The focus, according to those who will lead the center, is how one can find happiness and how that helps one's overall health. Well, I would suggest that this group over at Harvard offer a course on the Apostle Paul and his letter to the Philippians. If anybody has developed the ultimate positive way to move through the world, to move through life, it would have to be Paul. Now, Paul's positive thinking went a lot deeper than books and theories. It's based not on academics or psychology, but on what he calls the unsurpassing value of knowing God. Paul developed a way to choose joy. Joy for Paul was a discipline, a practice, a concerted effort. Let's take a closer look at Paul's letter to the Philippians. Now, this is a good primer on his approach. He writes this letter while he is imprisoned under house arrest in Rome. He's waiting for his trial before Caesar. The charges made against him in Jerusalem are false. His accusers are a group of Jews who consider him a threat against the law of Moses, and they've been stirring up the people against him. They might have killed him had he not been arrested. So there is nothing happy or promising or joyful about Paul's situation, at least not on the outside. The pending trial could lead to his death. So why is Paul able to write so convincingly about joy? Well, that's what we want to figure out. In chapter 4, verse 4, he talks about this notion of praying all the time, of staying in constant contact with God. So I must believe that Paul had an unalterable trust in God. His trust was, you couldn't shake his trust. Now in chapter 1, verse 12, he says, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel." So he believes that his situation in prison is a good thing because it's going to cause more folks to become knowledgeable of Christ. Now for most of us, being in prison would not be something we'd be thinking about, this is a good thing. But Paul saw it as one more opportunity to preach the gospel. Paul was on fire for Christ. He had a burning passion for Christ. This was all the basis of his relationship with Christ. Paul didn't just know about Christ, you see. He knew Christ from that moment on the road to Damascus when his life was turned upside down. Paul began to just seek God, to seek Christ. And this is the knowledge that brings with it love and trust. You see, the more you know God, the more you love God. The more you love God, certainly you're going to trust God. So this prison experience has given Paul another opportunity to focus on that relationship, that knowledge, that love, and that trust. Now, Paul's gone through a lot of hardships. You know his story. But in each one, he says he's grown in his relationship. Paul's instincts about the blessing of this imprisonment are affirmed here in verses 13 and 14 of chapter 1. It has become known to the whole imperial guard and all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ, and because of it, others are more bold to speak the word. See, he's a role model. He knows that what he's doing is stirring others' hearts for Christ, and that is why he rejoices. He's confident that regardless of his circumstances, he is exactly where he should be, a living sacrifice for Christ. And he says that makes him rejoice. In other words, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to keep this attitude. I'm going to maintain this mindset. Now, that's a concerted effort, a decision that Paul has to make every day and every hour. From the moment he wakes up, he decides he's going to rejoice in the Lord. You see, it's easy to rejoice in God in good times, but Paul says you need to rejoice all the time. He'll say it again. Rejoice always, no matter what the situation is, whether you're working on solving conflict or building unity or growing spiritually. Your bigger aim, the greater intention, is the joy that you find in God. So your goal is to rejoice in God, to thank God, to worship God always. The term always is the key here. You have to get to this notion of always. It's not a natural inclination. When you connect joy to anything less than God, you're really looking at joy for the sake of joy. You want to feel good. The problem lies in the fact that we live in a feel-good culture. We eat food because it gives us comfort. We buy tapes to help us build our self-esteem, and we want to like ourselves more. We all get caught up in the material things because we think they will satisfy this deep longing. But you can't just seek joy for the sake of joy. And that is what Paul is teaching us here. You can't seek joy from external sources. I am so thankful you've joined us today. Remember, Love Rules is totally listener supported. Won't you make a donation right now to keep this program on the air? Log on to RoxburyPresbyterianChurch.org and click on Giving. That's RoxburyPresbyterianChurch.org. Click on Giving. Thank you. God bless you. When we talk about joy, we have to look at its source. Our joy as Christians is a posture of the heart. It's a positioning of the heart. It's an opening of the heart. The Greek root for joy, of course, is chara. You've heard that term before. It's connected to charis, which surprisingly enough is connected to grace. Joy is a gift of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the source of joy, the ultimate manifestation of our experience in Christ. You choose joy because you've chosen Jesus. 1 Peter 1:8-9. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. That's what this is all about. It's connected to love. It's connected to trust. Of course, it's connected to obedience. It's a life lived for Christ. And that is Paul's life. Joy is God's mandate to us. Rejoice in the Lord is really a command. Listen to this text in the Hebrew Bible, Deuteronomy 28:47-48. Because you did not serve the Lord with joyfulness and gladness of heart, you serve your enemies. So see, if your mindset is not on the joy of God, then it sounds to me like you've turned against God. That's what the scripture says, and that's a sin. God is serious about this serving him in joy. It is part and parcel of our relationship with the divine. Jesus preached the gospel so that his joy might remain in us and our joy would be complete. So if you just go and Google joy in the Bible, you're going to find all of these wonderful ways to remain connected to God. And Jesus' joy was tied to his obedience to God. He delighted in doing the will of God. And that joy is available to us. It's tied to our obedience. But here is the paradox. It's not magic. The Holy Spirit will endow us with joy, but we have to open our hearts to to the Holy Spirit. That is a choice. You know, the Apostle Paul takes time and effort to turn our attention to joy in suffering. And the best way to understand joy and choosing joy is to look at the joy in suffering, because who wants to suffer? Paul didn't want to suffer, but his suffering came in obedience once again to Christ. That's why he could be shipwrecked, stoned, beaten, left for dead, because he was living out his purpose in spreading the gospel. So he could rejoice in suffering, not because of the suffering, but because he was doing what he was called to do. And he was very pragmatic in explaining how suffering connected to joy. Remember that Romans text, suffering produces perseverance, perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. Now remember, this is hope in God, not aimless, uncertain hope, but certainty in the promises of God. But let's just break it down real quick, a little deeper. Because the one specific term here that helps us understand this choosing joy is the term perseverance. You have to stay with it. You have to stay steadfast. I remember attending worship services in South Sudan, and the Dinka people were singing this great song about rejoice, and they sang it over and over and over again. And if you think about it, and I talk about this a lot, there is nothing that you can see on the surface to be joyful about in South Sudan. It's a poor country and people are really suffering. But the Christians in South Sudan, oh my goodness, they are joyful. When you are in conditions of deprivation and chaos, always subject to attack, subject to things that are outside your control, you cling to the hope of the Lord. The South Sudanese were very clear about their dependence on God, and that gave them great joy. You see, when you realize that nothing is really in your control, then you can easily cling to God, I believe, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. So I want you to take that truth. I want you to persevere in that truth and take the long view of the spiritual walk. Jesus knew that his purpose was beyond the humiliation and mockery of the cross. He endured the cross for the joy set before him. Paul knew that whatever he suffered was nothing compared to the incomparable value of knowing Christ. That's the joy. And that's my prayer for you today. Thanks for joining us. Be blessed.
Thank you for tuning in. Roxbury Presbyterian Church is located at 328 Warren Street, right in the heart of Roxbury. Come worship with us on Sundays at 11 a.m. This is a listener-supported program. We invite you to partner with us and learn the many ways that love rules. Visit us on our website, roxburypresbyterianchurch.org, or call us at 617-445-2116. Love will reign if you let